Being a rookie cop in the vice department sucks. Especially when you're a woman. Well, I consider myself a tomboy, though I guess I just see that as a subset of women. But for the vice division, it means I have to get dressed up sexy and help arrest Jones for soliciting. I do actually work on a good team, and I don't go undercover as any street walker. I'm an alleged high-class call girl. I guess I took a silly kind of pride in that. Someone else makes the appointment via a webpage or app, and me and my team show up. They rush into the fancy hotel room immediately after I get the John on tape propositioning me, or sooner if he tries anything I can't handle before then. But as the rookie, I do have to put up with getting teased or lightly hazed a bit. I'm a third generation cop, and my brother is one too, so I know all about it, and don't take it personally. It's not sexual harassment or anything. It's more putting mayonnaise in my favorite type of cream-filled donut or sending me to the evidence locker to retrieve the Maltese Falcon. I felt dumb when I found out it was from a famous movie and didn't exist. But it's all part of being a rookie. Weirdly enough, it made me feel like I belonged, because now I had stories like Grandpa and Dad and my brother. This week's prank, though, they hid my civilian clothes after tonight's bust of a local councilman with a wild side. I didn't let it faze me, though. Part of being a good sport was not flinching, like when I first bit into the mayo-filled donut. So I just grabbed my car keys, walked back out of the women's locker room to where they were waiting in the hall, and said my goodbyes to the team. I didn't even take off the wig or makeup. I think they were disappointed. I didn't freak out, but at the same time, I earned points with them. I knew my clothes would be back in my locker tomorrow. I drove home like that. I almost took the wig off as I was driving, but it wasn't just sitting on top of my head. There were bobby pins and other stuff holding it in place. And the only thing worse than the makeup painted on my face would be the effect if I tried to wipe it off in the car with nothing more than some fast food napkins and some spit. Getting into the house without any of the neighbors seeing me wasn't that hard. It was pretty late, so they were in bed. Unfortunately, my roommate was still up. Technically, he's my landlord. We'd gone to college together. I'd been a criminal justice major, but he'd studied business like his rich dad. He worked for him now, which is how he could afford a house right out of college. He insisted he couldn't afford the mortgage without me chipping in. But I was underpaying for a bedroom in that neighborhood since I just had a rookie salary plus student loans to pay off. He looked up from his laptop in the living room as I came in, dressed like a cross between a supermodel and Julie Roberts in Pretty Woman. He paused for a moment and then said, "Sorry, did I tell you tonight by mistake? My bad. My roommate will be home soon, and she's a cop, so this would just be awkward if she walked in." I rolled my eyes. I mean, I knew damn well that he knew damn well that it was me. Maybe my own mom wouldn't recognize me right away, but he would. Despite what he just said, who else was going to walk into his house like this? I pointed a finger at him. "You could not afford me." He cocked his head at me. "I don't know. Dad seriously overpays me." I shrugged. I was thinking more of the prison time. He frowned. "How much would I get?" I'd sat in enough trials by now and knew my law. "Oh, about a year and a fine is standard," Except you're a first-time offender and a good citizen. Plus, I guess your dad's lawyers could probably get you off. I could see him biting back a retort, and I was immediately mad. Not at him, but at me. Ending that sentence on "get you off" was the perfect setup for him. I had left myself wide open. Was this a "that's what she said" moment? Or a comment about how he thought that was my job? Off-color humor between us was nothing new. We'd bonded on a shared love of it in college, along with sports and various other pursuits. Usually, I was the one making the outrageous remarks to make him blush. Now that I had fed him the perfect line like that, I was a little disappointed that he was resisting the urge to take advantage of my moments of weakness. Maybe he thought things were different now that I was a cop, and he couldn't be the same lovable, off-color doofus I had grown to like. Or maybe it was because I was dressed up like a very expensive call girl, which also was the most feminine he'd ever seen. His silence hung in the air, painfully. So I had to break it. I casually walked over to where he sat at the couch. "But if we were talking money, what do you think I'd be worth?" I had regained the upper ground. He looked flustered. "I couldn't put a price on you and wouldn't do that." "Hush," I said, putting a finger with its ridiculously long fake nail over his lips. "Just throw out a number." He sighed. "This is a no-win situation for me. You realize that, right?" I shrugged. "Yeah. But it goes worse for you if you don't answer. You do not have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and definitely will be used against you." He threw out a number, and I was stunned. Damn, I was in the wrong line of business. I mean, maybe he was just flattering me. My Johns never offered anything close to that, even if they wanted weird stuff. And I worked the better hotels and Johns of the city when I was undercover. I regained my composure. "So, set for the hour? For that much, you could have me for the entire night." He smiled at me. "I was thinking you could spend the entire night." For a moment, I thought he was actually propositioning me. And then I realized, oh yeah, I live here. Still not willing to concede the high ground, I asked him demurely, "So, do you actually have that kind of money on you?" I wasn't prepared for him to actually have it. I mean, he almost certainly did in his bank account. College had been paid for, and like he said, his dad paid him well. But he also had the deposit from work he needed to make first things in the morning since the bank was closed today. With a smirk on his face, he set aside his laptop and then pulled out the stack of bills from the deposit bag. It was a joke, of course. Soliciting your best friend for sex? Not a good idea. Even worse when she's a vice cop. He was just running with the gag like I'd been doing. Like I intended to keep doing. I couldn't let him one-up me. I surprised him by sitting in his lap suddenly, then taking the money from him. "Wow, big spender," I said. "You could have had me for a lot less." "Really?" he said, looking surprised. "How much less?" I almost said free. I don't know why. I buried that before speaking. "Oh, a working girl won't give away info like that. but you've just earned yourself the best night of your life. I squirmed in his lap for emphasis, and I felt his cock twitch. That was what the lumpy thing that I had been ignoring was. I thought maybe he had the TV remote on his lap. Wait, had I made him hard? He looked embarrassed and tried to get me off his lap. That would have spilled me to the floor, so I grabbed onto him. He looked like he was going to say something all apologetic and stupid, which meant I had to stop him. So I kissed him. I don't know where it came from. Working vice like I do means acting a bit. Maybe I had become a method actress and had so lost myself in the role of the high-priced call girl. Or maybe this was me, but the version of me unlocked thanks to all the feminine clothes and makeup I was wearing. Or maybe it was just tomboy me, given courage by this outrageous disguise that wasn't her. Something she could hide behind before leaping out at her longtime prey when the perfect moment struck. He looked and felt surprised, but not at all in a bad way. Not like a, oh, where did all of those vice cops come from? Way I was used to, but more in a, oh, a surprise party for me? You shouldn't have. Way. I squirmed again in his lap, with more targeted effect this time. A moan escaped his lips as we continued talking. He was wearing shorts, and I was wearing a pretty sheer skirt and silk panties, so there wasn't necessarily much to get in the way. I suddenly realized the panties were starting to get soaked. In a way, my more masculine underwear choices never had been. So, obviously, I had to remove them. Slowly and carefully and with great showmanship. And then I freed his cock. I'd been lucky. In all my time in Vice, my team had ensured I'd never have to deal with seeing a John's cock, let alone do more than see it. I'd seen cocks before, of course. Maybe from the occasional porn or the surprise scene in a regular movie. But they were nothing like this, because this was his cock. Things were rapidly getting out of control, and there was no team of vice cops in the next room ready to swoop in and save me. At least, I didn't think there was. I'd be surprised as hell if they suddenly came running out of the kitchen, guns and badges in hand. More than surprised, I'd also be disappointed. He tried to say something. I knew he was trying to save me from doing something dumb, but I was having none of it. Sorry, I told him. All deals are final, and I already took your cash. And then I moved over him, then down a little, and took his cock, just like I took his cash. I couldn't really keep the cash, of course, but I was more than happy to accept his cock. I hadn't had time for boys my entire life, not with being a tomboy, or being a good student, or a good cop. But damned if I wasn't going to be the best lover I could. You can call me Sasha, I moaned into his ear as I rode him. That was the name of my hooker alter ego. He did call me that at first, but when he rapidly switched to my real name, I didn't correct him. I shouldn't have let him fuck me raw like that. I most definitely shouldn't let him come in me like he was building towards. Neither Sasha nor me was on any kind of birth control. Although, for the amount of money he was paying, he could do whatever he wanted and come wherever he wanted. I pushed Sasha aside in my head, though. Someone needed to be the voice of reason. "Come in me," I begged him. Well, so much for being the voice of reason. And I was the one raiding his cock, so he didn't have much choice unless he pushed me off of him. I think he knew what was at stake. I think he even thought of trying to get me off of his cock before it was too late. But then it was too late, except it was also finally the right time. We both came, his cum filling my tomboy womb, if there is such a thing. Except I was feeling less tomboy right about that. In the afterglow of the moment, I realized I'd been crying. Mascara was everywhere. My face was a mess. But still, he kissed me and held me in his arms. When he started to say something, with the words obviously coming from deep down inside him, I tried to hush him again. "You have the right to remain silent," I told him, almost desperately. He shook his head. "I love you," he said simply. Through more stupid tears, I kissed him and told him that everything he said could be used against him in his bedroom if he'd get me there right now. Over the course of the night, Sasha's physical appearance got peeled away. The wig, the makeup, and the clothing, until it was just me. But it was always just me to begin with. And that was always more than enough for him. I just needed to accept that I had loved him too. Falling in love with your best friend? That was a definite rookie mistake in my book. But I didn't regret it at all. Shortly after that, I got myself transferred to a desk job at work and to his bedroom full-time at home. It was never easy for Mom or Grandma to be a cop's wife. I wanted to make it easier on him to be a cop's husband when the inevitable proposal came. I almost felt bad for him, given how soon into our relationship he offered it, but I still eagerly said yes. As my father gets ready to walk me down the aisle in his dress uniform, I'm wearing a ridiculously girly wedding dress that made Sasha's outfits look like gym clothes in comparison. I'm still a tomboy, but a wedding is a special occasion, right? And I do like the way I look. But even more, I like the way he looks, standing at the altar as Dad walks me down the aisle. His family was standing on one side of the church, and a lot of uniformed people in my family on the other, there for me. I wasn't looking for the fairy tale ending in my life, but somehow it found me anyway. Except it's not an ending. It's just the beginning of a brand new story.